Welcome to the Esri and the Science Aware podcast. In his book, The Geography of Hope, Real-Life Stories of Optimists Mapping a Brighter Future, David Yarnell tells stories about exceptional people that illustrate how location technology is solving some of the world's most challenging problems. David Yarnell knows the power of a story to change lives, as he recently shared with an audience at Esri headquarters.
I'll start by telling you my GIS Spark story. So you're probably the only audience I could talk to where I don't have to say that a GIS stands for Geographic Information Systems. But at all the other stops, I had to say that. So my GIS Spark story happened when I was CEO, a brand new CEO at the National Audubon Society. The board asked me to find a vision that would bring all of Audubon together. And we decided that our job was to protect the most important places for birds and people in the Western Hemisphere. That was the story. And how did we find those places? We used GIS. And so I was new to GIS at the time, and everybody said, well, you need to come to San Diego in July because that's what everybody does. And so after I came and I met the user conference, 15,000 people, I heard remarkable stories. I heard these cheesesteak-loving Philadelphia cops talk about how they caught a robber in the act because they had a map of what his patterns were. I heard about ports being created in Europe. I heard all sorts of just amazing stories. But the one that stuck with me was in 2015, Dr. Bruce Aylward talked about how the World Health Organization, and he was deputy director, had used maps to end Ebola. And it took my breath away. And it stayed with me until 2022, when I woke up one day and thought, I'd like to write a book about those people who are changing the world using GIS. And that's the conversation I had with Jack, where I said, let's tell the story of GIS by doing stories about the people. Really honest, candid stories about how hard it is to create change. And what's ensued has been 2.5 years of storytelling, of meeting a whole new universe of people. And what I tell people who don't know GIS is that virtually every government uses it, all large nonprofits, all militaries, intelligence agencies, and I describe the breadth. And of course, the thing that really hits home is when I say it's on your phone. GIS starts with a map or an image, and then you layer different types of data on top. And what emerges are patterns and gaps and solutions. I went to Prague because I saw that team at the user conference 3 years ago, at where they were talking about heat islands. And they have a 42-person GIS team inside of a 240-person planning department that is separate from the core of the city. And I went there to just find out about how they help run the city. And what emerged was a much more important and urgent story. They're only 3 decades past communism. And there are a lot of people who don't want to do the public's business openly. That's called corruption. And it's really hard to get your slice of the pie when everybody can see what's happening. And so it turns out that what the team in Prague does is radical public engagement. 50,000 people a year come through their community center to participate in planning and making decisions about the place where they live. Prague has been 3D savvy for a very long time, and all of their stuff is 3D enabled now. And of course, you know that you can zoom down into medieval passageways using this technology to figure out where would you put solar panels in a medieval city like this? And so I asked the former mayor about the importance of GIS. It turns out that he's actually a GIS teacher. And he said, it is the life water of Prague. So the way I went about looking at the entire universe of GIS users and to try to find stories was I basically followed Esri's market verticals, and I wanted a municipality to represent all governments. What I didn't expect was a story about a GIS team that was democratizing democracy. There was another democracy story in Bakersfield, California, where a father-daughter team were leading different parts of the city's efforts to do redistricting and a more equitable sharing of political power. And Jesus Garcia has been doing GIS work for 35 years. He worked at the census, now lives in Bakersfield. And his daughter Sophia now works at Esri around equity in communities and city governments. And they led this very dramatic redistricting effort where in a majority-minority community had basically occupied every elected office in Kern County. And this was nothing short of a miracle for the Latino and Punjabi Sikh communities. So the story I went after in Bakersfield was around what I think is the most important innovation in GIS in the last decade, and that is collaborative community mapping, the ability for people to share the same vision on their screens and to collaborate. I think for a founder to pivot from proprietary software to a web-based approach in the early 20-teens is really extraordinary. Founders don't do that. But what that did is it opened up the opportunity for people to collaborate in a whole new way. And that's what they did in Bakersfield. There were a half a dozen maps, all of them competing. And the city didn't actually want to do this, but it was the community that said, we want a voice. We want to draw these maps. And they did, and they called it the Unity Map. I was there last night, and the community turned out, 100 people were there. And it was tears of joy, and it was really quite remarkable. And at the end, the Sikh community wanted me to know that I was a part of their community, and I ended up with a bright orange turban. It was really, really deeply moving. I just wanted to get the story right. There were these two little girls in the audience, 7 and 9, and they had the opportunity to see a city council member who looked like them, and that kind of representation matters. The story that everybody said would be really, really hard to write and that maybe I shouldn't try was about the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. Every map for the U.S. military is done by the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. Every boat driver, every pilot, every tank commander has an NGA map. All the intelligence agencies have an NGA map. They are an amalgamation of 7 other intelligence agencies, parts of other agencies that were all brought together post-9/11, they helped, along with the Defense Department, create the commercial satellite industry. And while I couldn't write about their classified work, I could infer what they did. I could communicate enough about what they did. Somebody who had been an NGA executive said, do you use Waze? He said, you know that feature where it shows you where the cops are? And he said, imagine that's a tank around the corner. You don't have to imagine that very hard to figure out how they use that technology. So their history is fascinating. This is Bea McPherson. She's 102 now. At 18, Bea was one of America's military mapping maidens. There were more than 200 of them, and they drew maps for D-Day, for the Battle of the Bulge, for all of those fights in World War II, and mostly they were printed on silk so that aviators could stuff them into their leather jackets. And when we posted this on social media, we got a note from somebody who said, my grandfather has some of those and they are gorgeous. I went to the conference that is held around the geospatial intelligence industry every year because it's unclassified. You see lots of demonstrations. It's not at all hard to imagine that what you're looking at and to understand that it's probably, you know, a simulation of what Ukraine looks like from the ground. So what NGA knows is really remarkable, and they'll send a full military-style deployment of teams to help do mapping and communications for disaster relief efforts. This chapter seems to resonate. This chapter, I want to do a chapter about businesses, because while we all love to talk about nonprofits and academia and how we use GIS, people make a lot of money with GIS in for-profit businesses, and they should. I have a friend who is an investor in a hedge fund, and he was telling me that their biggest business, their best company, mapped the last mile for delivery of fiber telecom to homes. And that last mile used to be a real problem, he said. But now we know whether we're going to have to break up sidewalks or whether we're going to have to go around to the side of, you know, the backside of a unit. We don't have to trust the marketing teams anymore. That's what he told me. And so I wanted to find an industry that represented a lot of other industries, and I ended up with the insurance industry. That chapter also covers a lot of other users like FedEx and UPS, and the fact that they almost always try to do right turns. It includes Chick-fil-A, which says that its sales per square foot are 2.5 times that of McDonald's because of how they use GIS. It includes The Gap, which I remember the presentation about how they decide where to locate stores. They use that data layer thing that we looked at, where they end up figuring out where to put the stores. That's what lots and lots of businesses do. But the insurance industry is undergoing a big transformation. They have images of every inch of the continental U.S. and Alaska. And what they know about your home includes the condition of your roof, your fence, whether you have one of those dangerous trampolines, whether you have a pool that you haven't told the insurance company about. They know all of that. And one of the insurance companies that are a part of Lloyd's of London told me that in a disaster, their cost of assessing damage, because they can do it from the air now and by using GIS tools, had gone from $13,000 per house to $8. So I wanted to do a story, one of the chapters, about the big international nonprofits. And so I picked what's known as humanitarian demining. So half of the world's countries have explosives in them after civil wars or cross-border conflicts. Half of the world's countries. And the thing that they had in common that I just didn't intuit as a privileged Westerner is just how much people want to go home again. They just want to go home again. This is Helmand Province in Western Afghanistan. See how there's nothing there? There is something there. It's a minefield. 10 years after those mines were cleared out, there were schools, there were shops, there were 50,000 people who had come home again. Whenever the war in Ukraine ends, it's going to take 35 years to clean it up. And novel GIS technologies are being used there. New kinds of drones, new kinds of vehicles equipped with GIS technology to map this and to make the removal faster and safer. The other thing that happened there that I wasn't expecting is that this turned out to be a gender equity story. It wasn't until 15 years ago that women really were able to work in this field. 15 years ago, it was a very macho military culture, and they fought having women in the room. And some brave pioneers who I wrote about in the book broke that glass ceiling. And there are countries, and it was really important to make demining more effective, because in a lot of countries, women can't talk to men that they're not married to. They know what's near their vegetable gardens. They know what's around their homes. And they had a lot of information to share to make demining more effective. And it became a huge opportunity for employment, where a lot of women didn't have jobs before. So like in Sri Lanka, the majority of deminers now are women, and it gives them income, that gives them status and the ability to start other businesses. So let me explain the subtitle of the book, Real Life Stories of Optimists Mapping a Better World. One of the things that struck me when I met the GIS community, those 15,000 people a year or 20,000 in San Diego, is that because they can collaborate and because it's visual storytelling, and that's my background as a journalist, visual storytelling, they feel empowered. They feel optimistic that they can solve problems. Change is happening. As a visual journalist, I know that there's only one way for me to be sure that the idea that's in my head can be in his head. And that's to show, not tell, what it looks like. And I think that's the real power. That's what makes people optimists, is that they build common ground through those GIS maps. Thanks for coming tonight.
Thanks for listening to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast. And thanks to David Yarnold. Read David Yarnold's book, The Geography of Hope, Real Life Stories of Optimists Mapping a Better World. If you like this episode, please share it with a colleague.